This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A lot of digesting.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. If there's anything that serves as a reminder of the global economic fallout, it's the number of people out of work. Those filing unemployment claims for the first time is at a record high. And while we make sense of that news, world leaders are trying to put finishing touches on a plan to tackle the crisis. It seems that's what's giving world markets a bit of a boost today. Dow is up about 2% at this hour. NASDAQ and S&P 500 with gains as well. European shares are on the rise. London's FTSE is up 3%. The German DAX is up more than 4%. There was a big rally in Asia. The Hang Seng added 7.5%. And the Nikkei was up more than 4%. Let's get the latest from the G20 summit in London with our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, this group of world political and financial leaders have been gathering there. They've been together for hours today. What are we hearing about agreements in that all-important communique?
We're getting a fairly good idea that the IMF is going to get a lot more money, an extra $500 billion to help bail out struggling economies. And interestingly, it's apparently going to be able to issue more of its so-called SDRs. This is a kind of currency unique to the IMF. It apparently is going to be allowed to create an extra $250 billion to bail out economies around the world. This is effectively printing money. This is quantitative easing, but on a global scale.
And Stephen, I know there's some pretty tough talk about tax havens going on as well.
Yes, this is fascinating because curbing the tax havens was supposed to be the easy part, one of the easiest measures for the G20 to take. After all, they all need more tax revenue, a lot of public spending to do. But apparently there's been a clash between France and China. France has been pushing for very punitive action against tax havens, but China has been trying to protect Hong Kong and Macau in its own territory from heavy regulation. So you've got the ultimate paradox here of a communist government trying to defend the ultimate free market capitalist institution, the tax haven.
And when are we going to know, Stephen, if all of this has any impact on the global financial fallout?
Well, of course, the initial reaction of the markets will be pretty critical, but I suspect it's going to take a few hours for all the details to sink in. This is a very substantive document, and many weeks, if not months, before these measures have any effect on the global downturn, if they have any effect at all.
All right, our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Now, jobs, as if we needed more evidence that the picture is ugly. The number of people filing new requests for unemployment insurance has risen to a record high, again, a seasonally adjusted 669,000. That caught analysts off guard a bit today. The latest from New York and Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The number of people on the unemployment rolls is now the highest as a proportion of the labor force since May of 1983. Unlike the overall unemployment number, this number, the people seeking benefits, shows that the recently laid off are having a hard time getting new jobs. John Sylvia, chief economist at Wachovia, calls this morning's data disappointing.
Jobless claims are a leading economic indicator, and the continued rise suggests that the economy will continue to lose jobs probably over the next 2 to 4 months.
For states, it means a bigger strain on already tight budgets, though the Obama stimulus plan did provide extra funds for unemployment insurance. Tomorrow, the Labor Department will report on March unemployment, a number that's not expected to be too uplifting. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report on Thursday, April 2nd, 2009, at Marketplace.org. Imagine this. You get laid off, so you apply for unemployment benefits, only to find that your ex-employer is challenging you. More companies are contesting the unemployment benefits of former employees. To explain, Marketplace's Jeff Tyler takes us to court.
At the appeals court in downtown Los Angeles, Monique Diaz is fighting for her unemployment benefits. Her last employer, a collections agency, claims she doesn't deserve assistance. The company fired her for missing her collections quota.
I did everything I could, but people just right now do not have the money.
Maybe she wasn't the best collections agent, but you can't be denied unemployment benefits based on job performance. People are generally ruled ineligible only for misconduct or if they quit. Still, workers' advocates have noticed a troubling trend.
Workers are increasingly having their claims challenged by their employer.
Andrew Stettner is deputy director of the National Employment Law Project.
Since your employer pays taxes on an unemployment claim and that their tax bill will go up as more of their former employees claim benefits, they have a real incentive to challenge claims.
Many companies hire specialists to handle unemployment matters. The biggest is Tox, a subsidiary of the credit reporting company Equifax. Stettner says Tox routinely contests benefits on grounds of misconduct, even if it's still gathering evidence to back up an allegation.
They just write, employee broke a rule, and they fax it in. And that's enough in most states to stop the benefits. And then a lot of people don't know what happened to them, and they don't get their benefits.
Tox declined requests for an interview. Instead, the company referred me to Doug Holmes, who heads an industry trade group focused on employment issues. Holmes says companies sometimes resort to a preemptive unemployment challenge in order to buy time.
They may have 1 or 2 days to check with the employer or check their records to try to identify the information that is needed.
When a claim is contested, the checks stop coming until the dispute is resolved. Monique Diaz hasn't received benefits for 2 months.
I'm glad I have family and friends that, you know, will help me out with the bills.
In some states, the wait for an appeal can take up to a year. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
It is indeed all about jobs. And later today, a House committee will look at a new plan to get people to work, clearing trails, cleaning campgrounds, even cleaning beaches in America's public lands. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
Strap on your work gloves. The next big job opportunity may be in the Public Lands Corps. There's a bill in the House that would clear the way for this volunteer and stipend-based program to fund more paid positions. Congressman Raul Grijalva chairs the National Parks Subcommittee, which is meeting today to discuss the bill.
I envision some very, very profound attention to our public lands and the ability to put young people to work.
Grijalva says the bill could help the Corps add up to 60,000 jobs over the next few years. Alan Coffin runs crews of young people with Lands Corps programs. From a trailhead in Arizona, he says his crews quickly spend their paychecks.
So the money that is generated through the program goes straight into the economy.
Kaufman says thanks to Public Works expansion, his group is adding as many as 50 jobs starting this summer. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
It's the last day of the World Copper Conference in Chile. It's the largest gathering of its kind in the world, with more than 600 copper suppliers, traders, and refiners on hand. And they all have something to celebrate. Copper prices are up 30% since the new year, the biggest quarterly gain in at least 3 years. From the Americas desk at WLRN, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
The price of copper, like that of crude oil, has been on a roller coaster of late. A record high in July, then a sharp fall. Now a modest rebound. Analysts say copper prices have rallied largely because China, the world's biggest buyer, imported a record amount in February. China needs copper for enormous infrastructure projects it's initiated to help it weather the global slowdown. George Pruitt is research director at the Futures Truth Company.
Usually the commodities are a good weather vane to tell you what's going to happen in the economy.
Pruitt says copper is a raw ingredient for any economic recovery because it's critical to so many industries.
So I think we're starting to see a glimmer of hope that this recession has finally bottomed out. We've had a nice little pop in the prices. Let's just hope it continues.
Other analysts say until the demand for copper rises in the U.S. and Europe, the light at the end of the tunnel remains beyond the bend. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
time of year, there are just about as many IRS forms and schedules as there are calls for reforming the U.S. tax code. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell says it's time to get it together. Chris, it's pretty dense stuff, all the liabilities and deductions. How did it get that way, and why hasn't there been a concerted effort to simplify?
You know, I keep trying to understand this, and I think there are several reasons. One is a lot of the complexity comes from good things, you know, things that we want to accomplish, home ownership, rebuilding neighborhoods. But the more things you add into the tax code, the more complicated it gets. I think the real story, however, is that industry lobbyists and politicians love tax code complexity. They reward their friends through the tax code. It's much easier to do it that way than to say, well, we're going to spend $100 million to benefit this industry. But I'm a little bit pleased to see Paul Volcker, former Fed chairman, has now been appointed to deal with tax reform.
So let's talk about the former Fed chairman then. Why hasn't anyone really paid attention to the fact that he's back?
I don't know. I mean, he's been fairly quiet, but I think people might be underestimating the influence that Volcker is going to wield over public policy. I mean, look, he proved to the world when he was head of the Federal Reserve just how tough he is and how much of a public servant he was. Industry was knocking on his door. He didn't pay attention to industry. He kept his focus on we need to bring inflation down. That's what he did, and he succeeded. If he decides he's going to put his prestige behind it, people are going to have to pay attention. And I also have a suggestion about how he can go about doing it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What kind of blueprint do you think is needed as a way to begin this overhaul?
If you want to overhaul the tax system, it needs to be bipartisan. That's the real key. So the Bush White House, it had its tax reform committee, and they came out with a report in 2005, and it was really good. It was a very good report. Make a couple of changes, you know, show, and then say, here we are. We got it. And by the way, I'm with a Democratic administration. This one came out of a Republican administration. Let's all get around this and let's simplify the tax code for the American taxpayer. And let's do it now.
All right. We'll see if that happens. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.